I was thinking again and again and again, many times this thought came to my mind while Brother Wells, I'm sorry, Brother Wells, it's just your mind just, I was thinking about these politicians. They have a channel C-SPAN or something like that where you can see what they're doing. It's sickening. It's almost as sickening and stomach churning as the halftime at the Super Bowl, but here they are in Congress and so on doing their thing. They'll say this from time to time. One person will be talking. You've seen this, a senator or a representative. And another one of the same party will say, I yield some of my time. I yield some of my time. And I just kept thinking that. I really wish that I could have just said, I yield some of my time, or I'll yield my time. I'll yield all of my time. Brother Wells gave us a really good scriptural biblical look at our adversary, the devil.
Yes,
a real look at him. I was thinking of something Brother Josh said this morning to me. He said last night, Brother Wells spent a considerable amount of time talking about the names of the devil. And then my scripture, of course, text was God has given him a name.
Amen.
Amen. I was thinking just before I got up about the look that we've had at Satan, and we need that. We need that. We need instruction on that. Then I was thinking about the scriptures that I want to read tonight, and I'll begin in Hebrews chapter 9, or chapter 2, and in verse 9. But before we read, well, let's go ahead and read, then we'll pray, then we'll read again. Hebrews chapter 2 and in verse 9 says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. And then down in verse 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself, he did it all by himself, took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you. We just want to give you thanks and express gratitude for the Word of God that we've had tonight. We pray that these things sink deep into our hearts, that they'll be transforming and help us in a great way, not just tonight, tomorrow, but throughout the rest of our lives. We pray that you'll get honor and glory tonight. Lord, we thank you for this church. We thank you for the conference. And we thank you for all of these good people that have this kind of interest and are willing to make this kind of investment in your word, in the ministry of your word. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it all. Amen. Please be seated. Now, I want to read another passage that may seem a little disconnected, but in light of everything that's been preached so far tonight, we realize what a vicious adversary we have. But we can be grateful and thankful and praise God that we have been delivered.
Amen.
Amen. We've been delivered.
Amen.
Somebody brought it up last night. I think it was Brother Shepherd. And he mentioned that there are those who some people are very, very strong. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, for example. I read one where he said, there's going to be far more people in heaven than they are in hell, or it'd be cast a bad light on God, in other words. Well, I thought about that, and as great a man as Charles Haddon Spurgeon is, the Bible, Jesus still says that wide is the gate, broad is the way, and many there be, they're on. But he said, straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. So I'm not sure Spurgeon was right about this. But I am glad tonight that I'm saved and that you're saved. And yet we need to have our pure minds stirred up by way of remembrance from time to time. That there are vast numbers of people still who have never been saved. Who have never heard. You know, the cause of Christ has suffered a great deal of damage over the last 3 or 4 decades by some irresponsible preaching and much harm, much bad things have been absorbed in these last years. I'm talking about independent Baptist churches. But one thing that I think that has been lost, that was stirred up and has been lost. Now, I know all about easy believism, and I'm against that. Amen. That's caused more harm than anything. All these false professions of faith. But I would to God that we had a zeal for soul winning.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. That there once was. It may have been misdirected a little bit and misinstruction involved with it, but we need a greater burning for the salvation of lost souls, that they can be delivered from this terrible person we've been talking about and his person, Satan, and from the awful consequences of sin in a person's life. And you know, that's the heart of the Lord Jesus. Years ago, I read the story about a famous stuntman in Hollywood. This stuntman was only in his 30s, and he'd gained quite a bit of an acclaim for what he could do. But he was in the midst of performing a stunt, and he was way, way up high on a building, and his stunt was, his role, his part was to fall off of that building. Well, something went wrong, and he killed himself. Well, he had signed up to be one of these people that would donate their hearts if anything ever happened to them. They took his heart and gave it to a man that was on the list, his position on the list in a hospital down in Texas to get that heart. And this man got it. He was in his early 50s. And about a year after that incident, that hospital had a big event and they had the parents of heart donors come down to meet people who had received the hearts of their loved ones and therefore had their lives saved by virtue of that. One of the couples that was there was an old couple that had been the parents of this stuntman. And they were his parents. And as they were introduced and came forward to meet this 50-some-year-old man who had received this heart, the old man had a bulge, obvious bulge in his suit pocket. And he walked up to the fellow who had been the recipient of his son's heart, and he pulled that stethoscope out and held it in his hand. And he said, "I just wonder if I could put this on your chest and listen to my son's heart." Amen. You know, God has given us spiritual ears to hear with.
Yes, sir.
Spiritual eyes to see with. And I want to read a passage of scripture now in Matthew chapter 9, beginning with verse 35, that will help us to listen to the heart of our Savior.
Amen.
Where the spiritual battle that we're involved in, this commission that we have to reach the lost is involved. Let's listen to the Savior's heart here in verse 35. The Bible says, "Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues and searching and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest."
Amen.
Now, there are three things that stand out in these verses concerning an example that we can take and learn, an example where soul winning is concerned, in looking and listening to the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. First thing you see in these verses, what Jesus is doing, what he said, you see the undertaking that is in view in Jesus' own life, the undertaking, what he was engaged in. And then you see the understanding that comes out of all of this. And then there's this sense of urgency in what he said about soul winning. That's what we need today. We need a revival, a renewal of a sense of urgency. Men and women, preachers and those who are not preachers, young people who are saved, we need a renewal of a sense of urgency. We need God to get a hold of us and do that for us, which we can't do for ourselves, and give us a real burn for seeing lost souls get saved. Amen. And so we look at the undertaking in view here. I'm going to be like Brother Wells, and I'm going to preach just as fast as I can. But you see, Jesus here in this passage of Scripture undertaking the greatest work in the whole wide world.
Amen.
The greatest work. And the greatest work in the world involves, we see it right here, the message that he preached.
Amen.
Amen. That is our great work, preaching this message.
Yes.
Well, the early church, they got it. You read there in the book of Acts, after that persecution of Stephen, the Bible says they went out, men and women, the boys, the young people. The Bible says they're not the preachers, the apostles back in Jerusalem. And so they, the moms and the dads, they went abroad. Everywhere they traveled, they went, the Bible says, preaching.
Amen.
They were preaching. We mustn't be like the Catholics and some of the mainline denominations and put such a great distinction between what they call the laity and the clergy. Amen. We're all in this thing together. Amen. We all have our separate roles in the church, but there's no big me or little you, whether you're sitting in a pew or standing in a pulpit. Amen. We're all engaged together. We are a band of brothers and sisters in this cause of reaching the lost. So let's look at the message here that's being preached. And first, look at where he preached. Now, we're just going to follow these verses right on down to the conclusion of this text. But look where he preached. Verse 35, the first part says, Jesus went about all the cities and villages preaching in their synagogues. All.
Right.
That's talking, you think about all of our relatives, all of our neighbors, all people, all over the place need to be saved. I'll never forget the first time I heard it when I was a very, very young man. And I heard the song, I don't know the title of it, I don't know all the lyrics to it, but part of the words that have stuck with me all these years were these: if just once I could see this world the way he sees it, I just know I would serve him more faithfully.
Amen.
That's what we're seeing here in this day where we're reading about in Jesus' life. In Luke 14 and verse 23, the Bible says, the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled.
Amen.
Amen. It is amazing how many people are out there just waiting for somebody to come along and invite them to church. And we don't know who they are.
Right.
And you may have to go through a lot of thorny ground, stony ground, and so on and so forth. But there's a lot of good ground out there.
Amen.
It's waiting to receive the gospel if somebody will come to them with an invitation, with a desire to see them saved. In Mark 16 and 15, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Amen.
In Matthew 24 and 14, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." I like what Brother Wells was preaching about tonight when he was talking about the church crushing the devil.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Just crushing him. And that's they use terms like that in these ball games.
Yeah.
They'll say that one team just crushed the other the other team. He talked about being an overcomer.
Yeah.
See, a lot of the problem in churches is too many times we can get into this mindset that poor little old us, we just got to hold out to the end.
Yeah.
Amen. We adopt that worldly philosophy. It's all about us. Oh, poor, as they say in New York, poor you. I like what he said about overcomers. If you turn to Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3 and read about those seven churches, Brother Steve, a special reward is promised to each and every one of those churches.
Right.
In every letter, there's a special reward for the overcomer. That's talking about overcoming the world, the flesh, and the devil.
Amen.
Through the power of God. So you see the preaching here, the message that Jesus preached. And then you see the ministry that Jesus performed. Now, I said the other night, and it's just tremendous to me, so much truth and power and equipment in such a short verse, be not overcome of evil. We're not supposed to be overcome of evil. That's a tall order. And so we need to know how that's done. And it says in the second part of the verse, but overcome evil with good.
Amen.
See, that's what Jesus' ministry was all about. It was all about this preaching the message, God's message, and preaching the word. And then the Bible says in verse 35, he went about all the villages teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now look at this. And healing every sickness and every disease among the people. You see the ministry that he performed. It's all about his goodness.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You know why he healed people? Because he was good.
Amen.
Amen. You know why he tended to people's needs? Because he was good.
Amen.
Amen. What Jesus is doing is he is going about, as Acts chapter 10 and verse 38 says, of all of the millions of things that could have been said, the writer said, tells how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And when that happens, this is what happens, who went about doing good.
Amen.
And healing all of those who were oppressed of the devil.
Right. Amen.
Amen. For God was with him.
Amen.
Because he was doing good.
Yeah.
Amen. So you see the goodness that Jesus actually demonstrated in his life. And then you see also the goodness that we're to duplicate.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. We're just simply to be like him.
Amen.
Amen. That begins with Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I thought for a long time that when people get saved, you know, the general idea has been to get down and tell them, give them maybe a little bit of printed information, you know, 5 steps, 6 steps, 10 steps. Now that you're a Christian, you want to pray, you want to read your Bible, you want to give, you want to attend church. Right. How about this? How about immediately impressing upon them, let this mind be on you. That's not going to happen unless you're in church. But you got to let this mind be in you.
Right.
This is the track that you have to run on now as a new Christian. And it starts with letting this mind, doing everything you can to get the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. So this is a goodness that we're to demonstrate. Jesus went about healing the blind and the sick, and this world is sin sick.
Yes, it is.
Amen. The world is sin sick. Talked about the insanity of sin again and again and again. There's no way to just understand. I mean, when you look at this, when people get so sick, It's going to come out and show.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You know, it's like when a person gets the measles, you got the virus in you. But after a while, it becomes so advanced that it shows up all over outside. It's like that demoniac of Gadara. The farther he went into sin, the more that sin was working him over. Eventually, it all began to come out. Amen. He took his clothes off. He cut himself with stones. He couldn't control his sobbing and his crying at night. He was a basket case, a mess.
Yes,
and when you look at some of these politicians now that have been in the limelight, they literally look like they're demon possessed. Their faces twitching, their gyrations and everything else. We are living in a sin sick world. When you see these people with their teeth rotted out and they're 20 years old and they look like they're 45 or 50, that's the work of sin. We're in a sin sick world that's suffering from sin. And we've got to be good and give them what they need.
Amen.
In Matthew 5 verse 13, Jesus said, "You're the salt of the earth." Remember that verse in Isaiah 59 verse 14, truth has fallen in the street. It goes along with this. Jesus said, "You're the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men." Do you know why there is so much disdain for Christianity today? Because the salt has lost its savor. Amen. People are looking at some of the things Christians do, or profess Christians do. There's no savor in that. And people are throwing it out into the street. They're walking all over it. They're stomping on it. Wiping their feet on what's being proposed as Christianity today. And let me just say this real quick. When I was 21 years old, I'd been just gotten out of the military, and I went to church. I wasn't brought up to go to church or anything else. I didn't go to church because I was interested in God or anything else. I went there because I was interested in a girl that I knew went to that church. I went to that church deep down within. This has been going on a long time. It was in my heart when I was in the service, even. I never said anything to anybody about it. I didn't know how to talk about it. But I wanted God to be real. I believed in God.
Yeah.
But really what I wanted was I wanted Christianity to be real. When I went to church, that little church I went to, and by and by, I realized, and I was watching and looking, that those people really were saved. Boy, was I glad. I thought, this is real. They got something that's real here.
Yeah.
This is real. Now, if I had gone with that longing in my heart and been disappointed by a bunch of worldly Christians in that church who were just as bad or worse than me in their behavior and everything else, you know what? I'd have been disappointed.
Yep.
I'd also been mad.
Yes, sir.
I would have been angry about that. Amen. That's the way a lot of people are in our world today.
Yes,
that's why godly, upright, righteous living is so important. Let me tell you this, that won't hurt anybody.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Holiness and happiness go together for a Christian.
Amen.
Amen. You really can't have one without the other.
Right.
We're to be the salt of the earth because that's good for us.
Amen.
But it's also absolutely good for a lost and dying world.
Amen.
To see that the salt is salty, the light is burning brightly.
Amen.
In Galatians 6 and 10, the Bible says, "We have therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men." Do good to people.
Amen.
Unto all men. Now we have to battle with that. I do. There's times I've gotten angry at people. aggravated with people. There have been times I could have done more good to people than I have done. But we're to do good as we have opportunity to all men. Read James chapter 2. But he says, especially to them that are of the household of faith. You know what the church is? The church is like a little laboratory. The church is like a gymnasium where you practice up and get good at being good to the people here.
Amen.
So you can be real good at being good to people out there.
Amen.
Amen. This is where we shape up.
Amen.
Get it right.
Yes,
it's in the church.
Amen.
So here is a real lesson where Jesus is concerned when we see his undertaking. When we're out preaching and we see his performance of his life and being good, what he practiced. And then that brings forth some understanding of something really important here, and that is in verse 36. You see you see Jesus' consciousness. Now these are lessons from Jesus that'll help us where soul winning is concerned. And the first thing we see right here is in verse 36, but when he saw the multitude, he saw them. He saw the multitude. Amen. He really saw them. He didn't see them as trees walking. You know that verse. You don't need to get into that. That's the only place in the Bible where Jesus touched somebody twice when he healed them. And it was to teach a lesson. He touched him the first time. The blind man, he said, what do you see? He said, I see men as trees walking. Jesus said, you need another touch. That's what we need today. It's another touch. So we quit seeing people just as old Joe or Sally. Amen. Just as a convenience clerk, just as an obnoxious neighbor, or so on and so forth. Amen. We've got to have God do a work. We, not you-ins, we-ins. Amen. We've got to see people. That's the way God is. I've been preaching on and have on 15 different names of the Lord God. And I mentioned one the other night. He's El Roy. He's the God who sees.
Amen.
The more we're like our Lord, the more we will see.
Amen.
Amen. We'll see people. If once we could see, as the song said, this world the way he sees it, boy, it'll make a difference in how we serve him.
Amen.
We see people like Jesus saw them. We need to be conscious of people. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3. Now, this is a very familiar passage of Scripture. It's about, you know, being a watchman and so on. But I want you to notice, you know, one thing about a watchman. I'm real simple-minded. I'm glad that being a preacher is not that hard. You don't have to have a big imagination. You really don't. It's all right here in the book. We don't have to expand on it. Amen. We don't have to embellish it. It'll speak for itself. Amen. In Ezekiel chapter 3, in verse 15, then I came to them of the captivity at Tel Aviv that dwelt by the river of Kabar, and I sat where they sat and remained there astonished among them 7 days. And it came to pass at the end of the 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I've made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die. Now he's been sitting there where in these so-called like refugee camps where all of these Israelites who have been dispossessed of their homes and moved into these camps along the river in Babylon. And he sat there and his heart is breaking as he looks and sees what sin has done.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And God put him there. He had to have this time to be still and really see what he was seeing. And God said, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, now givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. So there's a lot to learn from this. When you see Jesus on this day, and the Bible says, when he saw the multitude. We got to be conscious people.
Amen.
Spiritually conscious people.
Yes, amen.
The second thing you see here is Jesus' compassion. I mean, when we're really conscious, as God wants us to be conscious, we can't help but be compassionate.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible says, when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion.
Amen.
Why? Because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd.
Amen.
Now you go back to Ezekiel, and Ezekiel 34, verse 5 and 6 says, they were scattered because there's no shepherd. And they became meat. See, we have a shepherd. Amen. We have a shepherd.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord is my shepherd.
That's right.
We can say that. He said, because they had no shepherd, they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. That makes me think of the devil and his demons at work. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search nor seek after them. God saw that. See, God's description here of humanity apart from Christ can be summed up in one word. They're shepherdless. Amen. They need to know that there is a shepherd. Amen. And they need to know who he is. And they need to know what he can do. And I'm telling you right now, you do not have to have a soul-winning course, a workbook, or anything like that. You just have to have what thousands upon thousands of God's people have had throughout the ages as a burden on your heart.
Amen.
To just go tell people what Jesus has done for you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I had some friends, young men down in southeast Missouri about my age. And all three of them worked in a body shop. Well, I think there were four. Worked in a body shop down there, and one man that owned it, and they were all boozers and brawlers and everything down there in southeast Missouri. And they all worked in that body shop, and they'd work hard all week, and boy, that weekend they were terrors. One morning, the owner of the body shop, the ringleader, he went in early in the day to a bar, and was getting a drink served to him. And when he got that drink, he thought, there's got to be more to life than this. At that time, there was a little Baptist church in town that was having a revival. And this man's wife and her girlfriend, that was married to one of those other men, were begging their husbands to go to the revival. Oh, they laughed at him, put him off, not going to happen. That night, this man, under this burden, this confusion, went ahead and went to the revival meeting. Got saved, hardly before the invitation got started. He went back and witnessed to all of his buddies. They went to church. Every one of them got saved. They took down their old nasty calendars and pictures and all of that stuff. Somebody said, they've turned that body shop into one big track rack. All their lives changed drastically.
Amen.
And listen, it stuck.
Amen.
That was about 35 years ago.
Amen.
Two of them's preaching.
Amen.
Been preaching. And this is what Jesus can do.
Amen.
He just went back to the shop and told him what the Lord had done for him.
Amen.
Told it in such a way that they believed him.
Amen.
Wound up getting saved themselves.
Amen.
When he got saved, he had a consciousness of the state that his friends were in.
Yep.
And he had compassion on them. They needed a shepherd. The book of Hebrews chapter 13 verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep,
Amen.
Through the blood of the everlasting covenant.
Amen.
Peter said, for you were as sheep going astray.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that true?
Amen.
We were a sheep going astray.
Yes, sir.
Just poor sheep. Poor, dumb, blind, clueless, wandering, imperiled, vulnerable sheep.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Waiting for the slaughter.
Yep.
Didn't even know it.
Yep.
You were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls.
Amen.
See, in this latter part of the 36th verse, there's two descriptions here about these people that were shepherdless. Number one, he says he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted. That's a word like that word in Brother Wells's text tonight, where Jesus comes down off the mountain and this poor, pitiful father comes to him and begins to explain the condition of his son. And interesting there, Brother Wells, he said, help us. He was so burdened and hurting for his son.
Amen.
But part of his description of his son, he said, he pineth away. That's an old-timey saying. Old-timers, my grandparents and the people in the community used to talk about somebody that was very, very sick. They'd say they're just pining away. That meant they were dying. They were faint. They were weak and getting weaker and weaker and weaker. They were dying. In Isaiah 55 verse 2 and 3, the Bible says, God said, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me and hear, and your soul shall live.
Amen.
John 6 and 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. And he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst.
Amen.
They were pining away. Pining away. Jesus saw them that they fainted. They were dying. And while they were dying, they were scattered abroad.
Yep.
They were disoriented.
Yep.
They didn't know up from down. Amen. They were clueless.
Yep.
They were scattered abroad. They didn't have any rudder.
Amen.
And so the devil was able to kick them from pillar to post, and their little life's boat was subject to every gravel and reef.
Yep.
And maelstrom.
Yep.
Amen. That's how they were living their lives. They had no shepherd. They had no guidance. They had no direction.
Amen.
They were disoriented. They were scattered abroad. Amen. The psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd. He leadeth me.
Amen.
Well, I want to close with this. Another lesson to learn from Jesus here about soul winning is the urgency involved. Everything Brother Wells preached underscores the urgency of lost people's condition. And there's a reason for it. There's a reason for the urgency that's brought out here is this. Then he saith to his disciples, here's the urgency. The harvest truly is plenteous. but the laborers are few. That's the urgency. The harvest is so big, the workforce is so small. That constitutes the greatest tragedy and urgency you can imagine. You think about these recent hurricanes and floods and the famines that they're making appeals for. You know, if these people don't get food in the next 48 hours, they're going to die. It's really happening. They're urgent situations. All of these things. But there's a more urgent situation than any of that.
Yes, sir.
It has to do with a greater enemy than anything human, anybody human. And that's that enemy is the enemy that Brother Wells was preaching about tonight.
Yes, man.
The enemy of souls. Rescuers are needed. That's what Jesus is saying here. Rescuers are needed. The harvest is great. Think of the size of the harvest, he said. But think of the scarcity of the laborers. And then he said, he mentions, I'm talking about this urgency and reason for it, but there's remedy for it. In verse 38, he said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. In other words, he said, the remedy begins with you disciples being men of intercession.
Amen.
And prayer.
Amen.
Amen. I had a little book over in my room by M. Bounds called The Preacher in Prayer. Somebody gave it to me years ago. I read it, and I'll tell you, it tore me up. It still does every time I read it. Did you ever have something that just tears you up so much you want to avoid reading it, but you want to read it, but you know when you do read it, it's just going to tear you up? He said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. Now see, in the Bible, you don't find Jesus, as far as I know, making many prayer requests himself. I mean, imagine having prayer requests and Jesus being here and saying, I have one. Have you ever heard people making prayer requests in the service and they pray for us, you know, we lost our job and so on and so forth, and you know them, you know what their financial plight is and so on and so forth. Pray for us, our car broke down, it's our only car. My husband just got his job and now we don't have a car. And you're thinking, boy, I just wish I had the money. If I had the money, I wish I could just go buy him a car. And you mean it. If you had the money, you would go buy them a car. Amen. Other prayer requests, and you're sitting there thinking, if I could answer that prayer request myself, I would do it.
Right.
Well, here's one we can all answer. Jesus said, this is my prayer request. Laborers for the harvest.
Amen.
And here's the good thing. I mean, it really doesn't matter if you're young or you're old, or if we're rich or we're poor, or we're educated or we're not educated, or we can have no problem talking to anybody, or we don't talk good at all, and we're as timid as can be. If we'll just do what we can do while we can do it, we ourselves can be the answer to the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross for our sin and delivered us from our iniquity.
Amen.
And has made us a home in heaven secure.
Amen.
And we can answer His prayer request ourselves.
Amen.
Amen. Then, here's the second part of the remedy. First part, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send laborers into His harvest. Pray for divine intervention. That's what we really need today.
Amen.
You know, this is just me, but what I think today is I'll just speak for myself. I witness to people. I try to win souls. Do you know what I really need? I need more power.
Yes, sir.
If it's possible to need it more at one point in your life than any other point in your life, I need it now more than ever before. Because I'm on a shorter clock now.
Sure.
Amen. He said, pray that the Lord, that He will send forth laborers into His heart. Pray, God, do a work on me.
Yeah.
Do a work in me. We need to pray, but we also need this divine intervention.
Amen.
Now I'm going to close this message with a little bit of a warning. Have you ever heard the song that says, I'm so tired of being stirred and not being changed? Have you ever felt that way? Somebody put that to song. You hear a message, you hear a sermon, you get all fired up, worked up, stirred up, but nothing happens in your life. It's kind of like the message Brother Wells preached. We listen to it. I'm telling you, some of it, man, I was getting coming right to me. We listen to it, but it doesn't change us. And that's our own fault. Now, here's a warning. And I'm going to quote somebody now, and this is my last quote. It's a warning about the stirring of emotions without consequent action. It's a warning here. You get all stirred up, and then you don't do anything about it. Here's what Ian McLaren said. This in volume 7 of his works, page 53 and 54, if you want to look at this. Now listen to what he said. He said, only remember what Brother so-and-so taught us long ago. That if you excite emotions which are intended to lead to action, and the action does not follow, the excitation of the emotion without its appropriate action makes the heart a great deal harder than it was before. This is why it is playing with edged tools to speak so much to our Christian audiences, as we sometimes hear done, about the condition of the heathen as a stimulus to missionary work. If a man does not respond and do something, some crust of callousness and coldness comes over his own heart. Amen. He doesn't do anything. He doesn't give any more than he ever gave. He doesn't do any more personally to try to reach anybody. He says, you cannot indulge in the luxury of emotion. I think this needs to be preached. This needs to be quoted in a lot of places. You cannot indulge in the luxury of emotion which you do not use without doing yourselves harm. It is never intended to be blown off as waste steam and allowed to vanish into the air. It is meant to be conserved and guided and to have something done with it. Therefore, beware of sentimental contemplation of the sad condition of the shepherdless lost sheep, which does not move you to do anything to help them. Amen. Brother Farrell.